Oh God, please tickle my sack some more.
Are you recording right now?
Joey?
Yeah.
Somehow, we made it back for another episode.
Yeah.
I feel like we're running the gauntlet.
I mean, can't go wrong by running it.
No.
It's when you stop.
My fat ass sure is tired after we're done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the bright side, we've made it to episode 6.
It's a good milestone.
We've had a lot of listeners.
We have. A lot of activity on the Facebook page, too.
Yeah. Starting to gain a little ground, I feel like.
Yeah, I do, too. Have you checked the email lately?
To make sure we're not getting sued yet?
Yes, I was curious about that myself.
No, nothing yet. Sorry.
Nothing yet? You have checked it?
Yeah. It'll tell me.
Can't believe we're flying under the radar. Kind of like it.
Hey, but, you know, we were talking about this. The number of listens doesn't necessarily reflect the number of listeners.
Right, correct.
Because, like you said, you've got guys that at your shop, mm-hmm. and they could all be listening to one device, and 30 people are hearing it.
Right, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, it kind of made me feel a little better about it. I mean, we're up to 134 downloads.
I think that's pretty significant.
Across 5 episodes, that's a little over 25 per episode, which is really cool, you know. But I told you guys, I gave you fair warning, if you didn't like it, we're going to go to 2 episodes a week. And so this season starts 2 episodes. We'll have this one, and then we'll have another one that'll release on Wednesday.
We're going to put a little more gravy in your dish.
Here we go with the fucking gravy. What? God. Do you know what the song was that was playing?
No, tell me.
It's Mr. Crowley.
Ah, yeah, I thought it was familiar.
Yeah. It's Mr. Crowley by Ozzy Osbourne. Mainly because we listened to a little feedback, and, you know, people like the true crime stuff, and seems like that's kind of going to be our CTA is the proper term, the call to action.
Yeah.
We'll talk about. We're still going to talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about, but
we're going to just take it and try to twist it up and see if we can't mangle it. Yeah. And maybe you're probably not going to learn anything, but except for our take on it.
Yeah. So Aleister Crowley, I don't think he was ever like a criminal. I don't think he murdered anybody. He could have. But he was just more of an occult leader, which was something we want to talk about too, was cults.
Right.
And you know, he started out in the Masonic order.
Ah.
He did.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he broke away from it and started. He didn't start it. He kind of took over the Order of the Golden Dawn.
That's right.
Which, I mean, he was a mysticist. He was a mystic.
Mysticizer.
Yeah, he was a mysticizer and a womanizer. He was that too.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah. He was a freak. He actually, he said he died, not chlamydia, syphilis. No, seriously, he had syphilis, and they were like, that's the one that makes you go crazy, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with all of the sexually transmitted
diseases. Well, I mean, you should be. You should have paid attention. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, okay, just to kind of get you caught up to speed. He was a British occultist, writer, and mystic who lived from 1875 to 1947.
Okay.
He was known for his interests in the occult, alchemy, and spiritual practices. He founded the spiritual philosophy of Thelemia, which we'll go into that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He is famous for his writings on magic and provocative lifestyle, which often sparked controversy. Crowley's work continues to influence modern occultism and spirituality. His ideas about individualism and self-realization have had a lasting impact on very esoteric traditions. Esoteric means mystic. Traditions.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, that's a big word for me too. I had to look it up. I'm not smart. But so I outside of just reading the background on him, he was real. There was this book called the Rule of the Law, or the Book of the Rule of the Law, and that's what he wrote. Said that Aiwiss, a spirit appeared to him and told him this, and. Basically, if you boil it down, it's Satanism.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's self-worship.
Yeah.
You know, you got to understand, devil worship and Satanism actually are two different things. Devil worship means you worship the devil. Satanism, being a Satanist, means that you worship yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I've actually had I've had friends who very distinguishly told me there was a difference. They're like, I'm a Satanist. I'm like, cool, you worship the devil. No, it's not even that. It's like,
get it right, God.
Yeah, for real. Well, so, but the philosophy of Thelemia is just do what you will. That's the law.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the paraphrase of it.
No consequences. Yeah.
No, if it feels good, do it.
Right.
That whole philosophy, which, I mean, kind of, I could see that being okay, honestly. If you, let me rephrase that because it sounds bad. It would be an okay idea if people lived within a set of boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah.
Do what makes you happy. I mean, everybody says that crap. Do whatever makes you happy.
Well, I mean, it's just like, that's why I eat what I want and I can't button the top button on my fucking pants.
Yeah, well.
You're going to pay for it regardless. Well, you do whatever the hell you want, but.
Then you get like me and you can't eat what you want anymore because you're diabetic and scared you've got high cholesterol. And so now it's like, we were talking about this. Kimmy and I were talking about it on the way over. We're having turkey burgers, thankfully, for dinner because I had hamburgers.
I'm sorry.
Right, look, it's either I'm sorry or, you know, you have a memorial episode for Joe dying of a heart attack. Like, I mean, that's...
Robbie and I will start planning that.
Who would you have sit in if I croak?
Ooh, that is man, that is, I hate to say it, I have to promote Robbie.
Yeah,
you promote Robbie. Have to. I mean, yeah, you heard that right, Robbie. I don't want to. No, no, don't kill him.
No, I mean, now he's like, yeah, that's, dude, that's rude.
Yeah, it's just rude. Yeah, but yeah, you're absolutely irreplaceable. We would do the final memorial episode, and that would be,
you'd call it quits.
We'd call it, yeah. That's
terrible. Think it'd be the highest rated one. I mean, if me getting blown up got 1,000 views on Facebook, then me dying surely would get 2,000.
I still scroll by it and listen to it. God
almighty. You still watch it?
I don't really watch it anymore. But as I'm scrolling by it on the page, I hear that. Babe!
So if I can get Kimmy to reenact that scream out and vote, you're going to look immediately, see if I'm
getting blown up. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I successfully burnt more stuff without blowing myself up the other day.
Little redemption.
A little bit. We had some cardboard we had to get rid of, and so I took it out, and instead of dousing it, and here's the stupid part, I thought about it. I was like, maybe if I just put a little on there. I did. I was like, I seriously had that thought for a minute. And then I was like, I looked at my hand where it's still just now finally healing. I was like, I think I'll pass.
You had that little devil pop up on the left shoulder, that little angel on the right. And the devil goes, don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.
He goes, put a little gas on that.
You can do it and get away with it. Because you know what it was telling? Like, this is where my brain was rational. I was like, I got to throw it on there. You know, put it on. Stand back about 10 feet because it's got a 10-foot blast radius, evidently. And light one of those little starter log things that are in the bag and just toss it in it. And I would still get the whoosh effect. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I just lit one of those and kind of threw it in the cardboard, like in the box. And at first, you know, just smoldery stuff. And I was like, it sucks. I'm going to have to go relight it. So I look out the window. It's like a roaring blaze. And I was like, yep, success. And I didn't get cooked this time.
That's where you would have fucked up.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's... That's kind of like life. You think something's not happening like it's supposed to, and then you stick your nose back in it, and it blows up in your face. Yeah.
Patience can honestly save your life when it comes to shit.
And just learn to walk away. just light the wick and walk away.
Is it too early for a sponsor?
No. Nope. This is brought to you in part by Preston's Alcoholic Beverage. Please drink responsibly. So how was your week?
It was all right, man. Soggy as hell for the first start of it.
Yeah.
Pretty miserable. Wow. But made it through it. Made it to the weekend.
That's good. It's pretty quiet at work this week because it's end of the month. We're not very busy in the last couple of days of the month. It sucks because my boss, my boss above my boss, he's his whole thing is literally sales. It's what he's driving. Just push sales, push sales, push sales. And I feel bad because, I mean, I know my branch does fine, but I know it's like him pulling teeth to try and get some stuff to sell.
Yeah. Well, and, especially this time of year, too, has got to be tough.
Well, but, you know, we talked about it, and it's like it shouldn't be slow because it's just October. If it was
November now, brother.
Now, well, yeah, but then it was just October.
True that.
But you know, I really enjoy working under him. He's a great guy. He actually found the podcast.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was like, "Is this you?" It says Joe White, and I was like, "That would be me."
You're like, "No, absolutely not. It's not me. I don't know those people."
So, shout out, Brewer. I hope you're here. I hope you're listening. Hope you enjoy it. Promise, I'm gonna hit the ground running for November. I got you covered.
Get him motivated with a fire under his ass.
No, the fire's under my ass put me out of work.
No, it's the fires on your face that put you out of work.
This is very true, too. So, anyways, back on topic. So, the Book of the Golden Dawn, the Order of the Golden Dawn, was like a rival type of cult against the Freemasons. There's no, like, solid, I mean, maybe the people who were in both of them know, because there's a lot of secrecy in those cults, or not cults, those orders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of secrecy in them. One of the theories is that the Freemasons actually gained control of the Book of the Golden Dawn, which was supposed to be the last known book of magic.
Yeah.
And somehow they had gotten it away from the Order of the Golden Dawn. Here's my thing. I don't see any fireballs flying around other than the ones trying to take me out.
Right.
I don't, like, it's not that I don't believe in magic. I just don't think it's in the sense that we think it is.
I agree. I think, because if you look at, like, a Tesla coil, you know, that looks like absolute mysticism and magic, but there's
sure.
science to it.
Yeah.
So, several hundred years ago, when all of this stuff was being written and interpreted, now, I don't know what the hell those folks were doing back in the medieval times and all their sacrifices and poor damn chickens. I hope they fried them sons of bitches up after they got done doing all
that. Well, I mean, you hope. But think about it. Like, the first person that discovered an explosive gas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's magic.
Like methane, you know, raw methane, and then a fire lit by it, and there's a flame coming out of the ground where this methane's leaking from.
I bet his face got fucked up, too.
Probably. Probably started praying to it, too. This is how it was back then, you know.
Fire.
The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and then the Freemasons, the Masonic Order. There's a lot of secrecy in them. We obviously, neither one of us is in either group, so we don't know a whole lot about it. I can only tell you, like, you know, we can only talk about what we know about them. The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn is more of your basically cloaked, hooded figures believe in the, you know, the rituals and all that stuff, the blood rites and things like that. And then your Freemasons, like, the philosophy, not philosophy, the theory behind them is that they're descendants of the Templars.
Yeah, Knights Templar.
You know, which, you know, if anybody's in either order and they want to give some clarification, we're not asking for secrets. We're just asking for some clarification. I know anytime I've ever asked a Freemason what it is, all they tell me is this, the oldest fraternal order of men. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that doesn't tell me anything.
Right.
You know?
I like enticing.
Well, yeah, because the way you become one is you have to go want to be one.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get invited. You have to come.
It's hard to want something when you don't know what it is.
I think that's what it is, though. I think is that the mysticism of the allure of it is that. Yeah, it's not like the Rotary Club.
Now tell me that I can't. Tell me I can't be one. You know, that's how people feel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You tell them you can't. Oh, no, you can't have that. It's like, no, you can't download this episode.
The only thing, and I am not going to say any names to this. I have a friend who was a Freemason, or is still a Freemason. And the only thing I've ever gotten him to tell me was that the Masonic Order has access to some of the oldest known books on the planet. That's pretty cool.
I wonder where those are.
Who knows?
You know, doesn't the Vatican have, like, just...
The Vatican's got this whole vault, which there's also the Black Vatican, which is the basically, like, the purgatory death version of they've got the black, what they call the Black Pope, and it's all, like, the esoteric dark mysticism stuff of Catholicism, which they're supposed to not do, but evidently they do it anyways. Mm.
Is it still considered a branch off of Catholicism, or is it something different?
So it is an unrecognized branch of Catholicism. If you give me 2 seconds and I'll look this up, I can get you exact notes, because I only looked at it vaguely before.
Right.
But it's
very interesting. You know, you're thinking that, you know, obviously the Catholic Church is not going to talk about it. And we all know of all the quote-unquote conspiracies, you know, supposedly associated with the Catholic Church.
Yeah. And well, the Catholic Church supposedly has a, they have all the secrets. Like, they were supposedly the ones that, during the Holy Crusades, they took up all these relics, mm-hmm. and they kept mm-hmm. them, you know, and they've got them quiet. So is the Black Pope is an unofficial designation given to the position of Superior General of the Order of the Jesuits.
Jesuits.
Yeah.
Who's Jesuit?
Let's see. Does the Black Pope wield the true power of the Vatican? So it's the Father General is what he's called.
The Father General?
Yeah. So he's the Father General, and I guess the Pope is more of a figurehead, but it all goes through this guy first. Like, he says, yes, this goes, this happens, and this doesn't happen. So, yeah, so...
That's some sure enough conspiracy shit right there.
When the Jesuits were the most prestigious, influential missionary order in the world, the people of Rome began speaking jokingly of their head as a second pope. They called him the Black Pope because he wore the Jesuits' black clerical garb, in contrast to the real pope who wore the white garb, the white pope. It says the Black Pope does not have any authority over anyone but Jesuits. Sometimes people point to him as evidence of conspiracy in the Vatican, but what they really have garbled is an understanding of Catholic in-joke, and that was from Catholic.com.
Oh, that's got to be accurate.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah. They're not going to say, wow. You know, they're going to tell the 100% Scout's Honor truth on that one.
I also watched a couple of documentaries on some of the artifacts, and there is speculation that the Ark of the Covenant was some type of nuclear reactor.
So you've seen the thing about the
I saw the mission, is
it South Africa? Isn't that what it is? Or Ethiopia? Somewhere like Ethiopia. And they've got the blind guards, and mm-hmm. they all die of radioactivity.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
But they don't know exactly what's there, though. They haven't came out and said it's the Ark of the Covenant of that one.
It's an Ark reactor.
But, man, you saw what it did in the motherfuckers' faces in Indiana Jones. Man,
yeah, so, like, in biblically speaking, David, when he got the Ark of the Covenant, he had to sacrifice a bull every six steps on his way back to Jerusalem with it.
Fuckers just dropping from radiation poisoning.
I don't know. It was like, but that was the whole thing. Like, if you touched it and you were unclean, it killed you. Like, instant death. And that's touching the outside of it. That isn't even not what was in it. Because supposedly what was in it is the broken Ten Commandments.
No.
But Moses, like, according to the Bible, when Moses came out from getting the original Ten Commandments from God, he came out and they had made an idol to a golden calf,
right,
and it pissed him off, and so he slammed them in there. But they say when he came out, he was, like, glowing, like radioactive, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he also melted it down or smashed it to pieces and made them eat the dust of the gold.
Eat the gold dust.
That was a wrestling reference.
That was a good impersonation. The weirdest wrestler ever.
Still wrestling.
I know.
Yeah, so he's still going at it. It's like hardcore, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's got that Rhodes blood in him. He got that hard times Rhodes blood in him. Let me tell you something, baby. It make your back crack and your liver quiver. That's my Dusty.
That was a good one, man.
He said, let me tell you something, nature boy Ric Flair. You and on anything think you can turn on Dusty Rhodes, you got another thing coming, Jack.
Oh, dropping them bows.
Bionic elbow, baby. Bionic elbow. Running around in polka dots. I loved it. That was the best time in wrestling.
Oh, I know. Most entertaining.
It's just not the same anymore. Like, I don't know what it is. Just WWE has a no blood policy. Nobody bleeds in it, and unless it's a true accident. Like, Jade Cargill, she took one to the face a couple of weeks ago, and she's got a scar over her eye now. Like, she was laid open, and it was supposedly 100% accidental, because I don't think she would try to scar herself on purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know?
They use the little razor blades in there.
They still do. Oh, they still do. So, yeah, I'm a wrestling mark. What? Get at me. But anyways, we've off the path again.
Son of a bitch went off the cliff, dude.
Yeah. Anyways, so back on topic. So I'll tell you this: one of our female listeners that bowls with me, she goes, "I listened to the first episode. You guys jump around a lot." And it's like, what happens?
Really?
Yeah.
Really, young lady.
Yep.
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
That's exactly.
Nice, Robbie.
Yeah, that's a good job. But that's kind of what we do. I mean, it's Quadre put it best. He said it's listening to our podcast is like walking into a barbershop.
Yeah.
It's like you just like whatever conversation's going on, you either dig it or you don't. Mm-hmm. Get involved in it or don't get involved in the conversation. Yeah. Either way, you're getting your hair cut.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. We're not cutting hair. I mean, I'll shave it. I'm good at that.
Yeah. No, I'm not good.
No. You're not? Well, no. I mean, no, but realistically, this is what we do. My wife said it best, too. She said, you know, it's just like listening to you two carry on a conversation because this is what we talk about any damn ways.
Mm-hmm. And they are also all over the place, much like this, too.
Yeah, very much so. We're two ADHD folk headed straight towards ADHDism with no drugs for ADHD.
My boy's wicked smart.
Robbie's two for two. Two for two, Roberto. Two for two. So, anyways, back to Aleister Crowley. His spiritual philosophy was Thelemia, and we talked about how closely related that could be to Satanism. Now, what? Give me something positive that you could think would come of that.
Satanism?
No, Thelemia. Do what you will is according to the law. Can we agree that perception does a lot of this?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this. Okay. When you were born, was there anyone else that was born with you?
No.
Okay. Growing up, did you ever have a point of where you said, I know that this is what they want me to do, but it is not what I want to do?
Every waking moment of my adolescence.
And what stopped you?
Not a damn thing.
Well, some things did. You know.
Morals.
Morals.
Morals. And
so you set a moral compass and that became your boundary. Yeah. So if you're born into this world alone and you die out of this world alone, whose life are you living?
Mine.
So if you're living your own life, then why can you not dictate the way your life is lived?
Yes, and you can to a certain extent. The problem is getting the rest of the world on board with them seeing the same vision as you and not throwing 100 curveballs at you the entire time. You could also folks would stay out of your damn way, maybe, mm-hmm. but you'd just be lonely and you'd go after, you know.
So if you have this philosophy, this is your thought, would you go looking for like-minded people? I'm going somewhere with this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you find these like-minded people and they all say, hey, let's get together and talk about our like-mindedness. What do you have?
No, I would absolutely do that. As a matter of fact, I think we are.
You would essentially have a cult.
Ooh, podcast cult.
Yeah.
So, you guys come on in, the Kool-Aid's free. Jim Jones. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously, that's how cults are formed. People who have like-minded opinions about things that don't agree with society, and they go, you know what, we can just gather up over here. The Little Bethlehem in Monroe, that was a cult.
Was it?
Yeah, that guy, he convinced them that he was going to rise from the dead in 3 days. So when they died, they buried him, but they didn't put a top on it. And you can, to this day, drive by the little monument for that guy that has a glass piece over the top of his grave. They're still waiting. He ain't come out yet. But
you can't copy the greatest resurrection story of all time. You're going to have to get your own.
Oh, his whole thing was creepy. It's this guy named George L. Pike, and he started Little Bethlehem. And it was, it was a local cult. It was, but.
What era was this?
Not too long ago.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Like in the 2020s or?
If you give me 2 seconds, I will pull it up for you. He was an evangelical creature founded the Jesus Christ Eternal Kingdom of Abundant Life, Inc. and built a large complex called Little Bethlehem in Monroe, Georgia. Moved to a 70-acre property in Monroe in 1970. Okay, so again, okay. We're in the 70s.
Yeah, which is still pretty current.
But also more to the point, we're in the 70s. This is a time period where you had a lot of serial killers. You had a lot of occults. You had a lot of people coming out of the hippie era, you know, the free your mind, free your spirit era. And so your traditional, you know, Christian values were out the window at this point. Everybody's wanting to explore, and it was a renaissance, I mean, essentially. So it says that George Pike purchased the land in Monroe in 1970, built the headquarters for his organization. The compound he built was known as Little Bethlehem. It is abandoned now. He died in 1996, and he's buried on the road named after him. Let me see what his philosophy was. So it was a non-denominational church focused primarily on the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last and scariest book of the Protestant Bible. Pike, raised as a Southern Baptist, interpreted these parables through symbols and the allegory to understand God's message to humanity. While much of the church's doctrine is unknown, many of Pike's sermons indicated an overarching belief that it is up to the individual on how much of God they want to allow into their life. Well, that's weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That sounds like you doing whatever the hell you want to do.
Sounds like Thelemia related, doesn't it?
Very much so.
Which does. This was also a cult. Now, I know that it ended in 96, but the compound stayed somewhat active until at least 2010. Because there were a few people that worked at Tucker Door where I used to work. I don't care. I'm name dropping on that one. They still live there. So, but their entire paycheck went to the church, and then they divvied it up. You know, it was like everybody brought in their fair share or whatever. And it's just a brainwashed cult. I'm sorry. That's, you know, but it's, you got to admire the tenacity on that one to attack somebody. Hey, you can live and be however you want to be. But you got to do it within the confines of our wall, and we get all of your money.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of those particularly cult leaders that you see or that you see documentaries about, is usually some type of sexual angle to it too.
I am sure there probably was with his. Now I know the what was it, the Nubian Nation. That was the, you know, the Egyptian style cult. They had one of the buildings in Athens. It got shut down.
It looked like a little Mayan pyramid.
Yes, that thing. I remember that fucker. So it was, they were all over the place. Their cult leader was, he got busted with a lot of charges, like an ass load of charges for child molestation, all kinds of shit.
Damn cults.
Shit y'all are doing. The fucking Facebook shit, the internets, the fucking DVDs. That's all bullshit. Your shit isn't real.
It's not real. It's all an illusion. There is no spoon. I guarantee if you'd have given that one enough drive, there was. Now, I know there's the, I don't want to call it a cult, but, you know, Jedi is considered a religion in New Zealand.
Is it really?
Yep. Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, man.
Yep, fanboys. Fanboys versus Trekkies. We got a religion. What you got? Man.
Not funny.
Oh, God. Some dude actually invented a lightsaber. It's a plasma torch, but it has an end to it.
Does it do anything?
Yeah. I mean, you have to have it hooked up to a thing to make it not handheld.
Yeah, if it's got to have a damn cord or a hose going to it, it's not a damn lightsaber.
No, it's a plasma torch. It's what it is. So anyways.
How about, what was the one cult that invited all the people out to their sanctuary and put them all in those damn tents? And there was like a shit ton of them that died from the fucking heat exhaust. It's like over 100 people or something like that.
I thought you were talking about Jim Jones for a second there.
Is that what that one sounds like?
Yeah, but Jim Jones was the Kool-Aid cult.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all know the joke about, you know, you just made it earlier, actually. But it's not that important. It was just the one that made me think that I'm like, God damn it. They could literally get up and walk out at any time.
Yeah. You got the Branch Davidian compound. That was another cult.
Yes. Yes.
David Koresh.
Yep. And they were stocked to the nines too. And they gave them, ooh.
One of them that doesn't get brought up very much as an actual cult, but it was in fact a cult, was the Manson family. He had the belief of Helter Skelter.
Right.
Which was essentially he was going the murders that were happening. So allegedly Charles Manson never killed anyone himself. It was his followers.
Right.
But they were going in and killing predominant white people and putting Black Power symbols and Black Panther symbols and stuff because they were trying to incite a race war.
So, trying to blame it on.
And then he also told him he was going to take them to the desert and this hole was going to swallow them and they were going to go to the paradise that he had invented for them. Cult leaders evidently have a slick way of talking to people. Maybe that is kind of like a mysticism thing. Because I just don't see how I could get so wrapped up in somebody else's beliefs where I'm going to follow them blindly. But weak-minded people, you know, you get weak-minded people with daddy issues and you got a guy playing daddy and they start following.
Makes you wonder now. I wonder, are we too lazy to start a cult anymore? Like, if you did, would it all be just...
I don't...
Simply, you know, would it have to be all, you know, on the line or...
I mean, there's still cults out there. I
don't really hear anything much about them, though.
No. Everybody's so wrapped up in the conspiracy theory cults now, of like the Illuminati and Skull and Bone, which Skull and Bone Society is real. Illuminati. I don't know if it's real. Well, it was Anonymous, that was the other one. You don't remember Anonymous?
I don't remember Anonymous.
You remember them?
We are Anonymous, and we're going to hack your computer unless you do what we say.
That was Anonymous.
I do remember them now.
Wearing the V for Vendetta mask?
Yes.
You remember it now? So, I don't know if that's so much a cult as it's just like, I mean, look, everything's going cyber, okay? We now live in a society where word of mouth is great to a point, but if you're not on the internet promoting your stuff, then you're not going to make it very far.
Right.
It's instead of being truly organic word of mouth anymore, it's organic online, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Everything has changed tenfold.
So, what do you know about Jack the Ripper?
I know I've always been fascinated with the tale. I liked how seems up until here recently that they seem to think they have a pretty good idea of who did it. I also like how the story continued to evolve as well as criminal science got better. And things like that, they were able to piece things together, rule people out. They have some really, really good documentation of the times. And I'm really kind of surprised at that for a bunch of police officers to carry around a nightstick and a candle.
You know, this is crazy. You know, when he did all this, you think Jack the Ripper, you think it was like 1700s. It was 1888.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It was late. It was a little close to home.
Yeah. I know the theory is that one of the reasons that they said he got away with it is because he wore rubber-soled shoes. So he couldn't hear the clopping as he was running away. Yeah. Killed 5 prostitutes. That was his body count.
Said that, and to this day, they think the only way that they're able to piece together who they think that it is because he got interrupted on the second.
Really?
Yes. And thinks that he got, and I watched a documentary on the Smithsonian Channel about it. I highly recommend that one. That one was very interesting to everyone. I can't remember the names and the exact times and everything, but it was just really fascinating. And this has all been journalists, volunteers doing this. This is it. You know, this is closed as far as law enforcement's concerned.
Yeah, they never confirmed who it was. The three people that they had most likely, I can give you their names, and I think you would probably have to look up specifically what their jobs were, but I think you said you remember. So you got Aaron Kosminski, Michael Ostrog, and Francis Tumblety. But none have been identified definitively as the killer. Mm-hmm. I know that they said that one was a physician.
Yes, one was a doctor. I want to say one of those they have already kind of dismissed. And then the other one, I think, is just a factory worker is the one that they think that fits it the best.
Really? Yeah. So let's do a little deeper dive.
Deeper.
So Aaron Kosminski was a barber. Michael Ostrog, he was the doctor and surgeon who used multiple aliases. And then you've got Francis Tumblety was a quack doctor, a medical practitioner with an interest in the uterus, and he collected female body parts. So if I'm going to narrow it down, I'm going to say it's number 3. I'm just going to go with the, usually if it's a duck, it's a duck, you know? So, I mean... Yeah. He had a fascination with uteruses. I mean, I'm pretty sure that kind of spells out he might have done some crazy stuff. I could be wrong. And it could have just been a demon in human form that was doing it. Or it could have been somebody that got some kind of disease from a hooker and decided to start taking it out on hookers. Because that's all he killed. He never killed anybody else. He killed prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, fancy a shag back then. You were putting your... I mean, I guess it's no worse than today.
Things you do for love.
Don't be a fool. Wrap your tool.
Yeah, they didn't have very good rap back then, though.
I found them tater sack or something. I don't know.
I mean, there was no contraceptive back then that I can think of.
Yeah, but you also didn't live past late 30s then either.
Well, yeah. That was the Wild West in England, too. You know, doctors weren't proficient. They were quacks. You know, in my opinion, they were all quacks because none of them really knew a whole lot about what they were doing at that point. You know, medical technology back then is nowhere what it was now, yet, you know, they couldn't. The plague, prime example, bubonic plague, it was cured by penicillin, and nobody figured it out until a bunch of people died. And then, you know, society sucked and there was moldy bread, and all of a sudden little Jimmy got better because he ate the moldy bread, and holy shit, we are onto something, you know? Isn't it crazy, though? You eat fungus and mold, and it cures you.
Mm-hmm. Except me.
Oh, yeah, you're allergic.
I'm not like, oh, he's allergic. Like, oh, that motherfucker dead.
Yeah, quick and instant.
I'm allergic.
Jesus.
Good stuff.
So, but I, knowing that Jack the Ripper was never caught also kind of gives you an idea. But, you know, the truth is, even up until modern forensics, how many people actually got away with it, you know?
Think about, I mean, how many that you haven't heard about have probably gotten away with it.
Oh, I'm sure. There's some out there that...
What is that, the saying, no body, no crime?
Yeah, no body, no crime. All right, so you've got, and that philosophy too, sorry about the jargon in the brain, my thoughts are going quick right now. You've got the idea that the only reason why some of them got caught is because they wanted to be caught. I'm sure that, like, John Wayne Gacy, God, his body count was... like 30.
It was a lot.
It was crawl space. He was like burying them in the crawl space and in the walls and stuff. And I inspect crawl spaces for a living. Do you know how freaked out I'm going to be if I ever go in and find a body, let alone 30 of them?
Crawl up in there and find something rolled up in some plastic. What you going to do?
I'm going to crawl right back out. I'm not saying a word. I'm getting in my car and I'm moving on to the next house.
You're not going to tell anybody?
I'll call the cops about 10 miles down the road.
Once you're down the damn road.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? There's no way in hell I'm getting caught up in some crap like that. It's just, people are strange. People take perception and they make it their own, and it's like I preach this crap, but it's the truth. You've got people who do crazy things because they justify it as it's the right thing to do. They think they're doing the right thing by doing what they do, you know? And it's like, how do you lose your moral compass? Is it that you lost it, or is it that you never had one?
I think in some cases that they never had one. And I don't know. I'm imagining you can maybe trace that back to childhood and some things like that. I know a few people that have had some pretty messed up childhoods that still have a good moral compass, but still not, they're still not quite that. They'll take action before, you know,
they do the ready, fire, aim.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So,
but that, you know, that also makes me wonder too, why is mental health not a bigger thing in this country, in the world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do we let people who have mental illnesses, I get it. We're in the age of acceptance. You're supposed to accept everybody as they are, who they are, but some people genuinely need help.
They do.
And
I would like to know, and this is something I'm sure that we can research and try to find out, but was the suicide rate anywhere close to what it is now in, say, 1800? Just 1800, because now I know there weren't as many people and things like that, but what triggered this? What happened, and what triggered the mentality that folks are having today, where they're doing catastrophic things, just in general, catastrophic things, whether it be taking their own life or trying to take other people's life?
Well, so 1860 New York is what we can go off. 1 to 10,000. So 10 per 100,000 people were committing suicide. San Diego, 1880 to 1900, you had 6.7 per 100,000. I mean, I don't know how you get 0.7. So, but that was in the 1800s. Let's see what it is now. So the suicide rate now is 14 per 100,000 in the population in 2023. so you double it, basically. Yeah. 6.7 to 14.
14. So where did this transition start? I mean, and that goes back to what you were saying. I want to know, when did mental health, what's happened? What's the trigger to this?
I can tell you what's happened, actually.
Is it chemicals? Is it all the shit in our water? Is it the dam?
I can tell you partially what happened, okay? Partially, what is due at fault of this was doing away with mental institutions. Part of it, seriously, it was. We don't have mental institutions anymore. We have something that's similar, but you have to go through more hoops to get put in these facilities now.
And from my understanding and takeaway from them, it's pretty much just sedation and management. It's no...
There's no therapy. There's no cure. No, of course not. But I guess realistically, I would rather take what we have now for that versus what the asylums were. Because the asylums, they threw anybody who wasn't normal in there.
Yeah.
So if you had a mental illness, you were in there. If you had a physical, like permanent illness, debilitation, you were thrown in there. And that, I just don't agree with that. You know, I think that now what needs to happen is I think that mental health checkups should be as important as a physical checkup.
Absolutely. If not more.
You know, because the car can run fine, but when the battery's not running right or the computer's not running right in the car, you get all kinds of problems. You know, you check the oil, you got to check the CPU. You can't just assume everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the way I see it. If somebody disagrees with that, it's fine. So be it. But prove me wrong in saying that we don't need more mental health awareness in this country, in the world, you know? People, I mean, come on, look at all the crap that's happened. You know, you want to talk about a cult? You want to talk about some kind of society? The world has fallen into one big cult of do whatever you want, whenever you want. I guess we're back in thulemia now, right? Because that's where we're at. Do what you want, whenever you want. And who cares, you know, just support it, don't support it, we don't care. So that's what it is. We don't care mentality. Mm-hmm. We're a herd and we're nothing but numbers.
Yeah.
Individualism is gone by the wayside, but you've got so many people who scream for help on this that they act out, they lash out, they do crazy things.
And you can't help but think that our government likes that as long as they stay within those broad edges of the law.
Very broad edges of the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But then again, I'm also a firm believer in the government does this intentionally to keep people from banding together. You know, I really do believe that if you can keep a world or a country divided, you will conquer them to no end. Physically conquer them, financially conquer them. You're not going to be able to stand up and take a stand. You're just not, because there's always going to be, for every person who agrees with you, there's going to be 10 who don't, you know? And it's because we can't all come together and understand that we're all humans. This is all a blink of an eye life. And when it's done, it's done. You know, who's going to remember any impact that Joe White had on the world 100 years from now? Nobody, unless they find these podcast recordings,
mm-hmm.
You know? And that's just kind of the way I see it. You're here for respect. You leave the campground cleaner than you found. Okay?
Amen, brother. I never heard it put quite like that, but I like it. I like it. And don't burn the motherfucker down, and don't piss all over the damn bushes.
If you got to catch yourself on fire to remind yourself not to do shitty things, then, you know, I'm not promoting self-harm, but I'm just saying it made me learn a valuable lesson.
It opens eyes, man. It
blows you 10 feet back, what it does.
With a flip and a thud.
And a wife. Babe. And a wife screaming.
Babe.
I don't know, it was a scary thing, and I looking back on it, yes, it was completely stupid, but you live and learn.
I've had something like that, you know, something close like that happen. I'll tell you what's bad. You get around a bunch of folks, a big bonfire like that, and people decide to start throwing bottles in there,
or like I've seen this
and that's before. When you're every time one explodes, you're like, God, shrapnel.
Oh yeah, because yeah. Glass exploding, yeah. You know, that's not going to hurt anybody. And then
eventually everybody's like castrating the person that, don't throw the goddamn bottles in the fire.
Yeah, they band together and like lynch the stupid person.
Yeah.
You know?
Lynch the village idiot.
It's all village and he's all idiot, okay? We'll take him back now. Come on, Bumbles. I don't know.
Fuck it, man.
Well, we've got tons of. And that's another thing, too, is this is such a double-edged sword for me, because aside from that, too, you just have a lack of concern for other people. You see it every day driving. People do not know how to navigate a four-way stop to save their lives. I understand now why they're doing the roundabouts. You and I talked about this. You know, you said it's a financial thing because it's cheaper to do a roundabout than it is a four-way stop. I say that it's because people don't understand. If you're the last person to the stop sign, everybody else goes before you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're not special, passenger, driver, princess. You're not special.
Come on now, but I got somewhere to be.
Well, everybody's got somewhere to be. That's why they're in a vehicle.
I got shit to do.
Yeah.
I got to get there.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because this happened yesterday. What does a yield sign mean?
It means I got to go fast before you get in front of me.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going into a turn that has a yield sign and a vehicle is crossing the intersection going that same direction, who has the right of way?
Yeah. Or wait times velocity equals right of way.
There was a lot of weight in that car. But no, I mean, the guy completely blows through the yield sign. He didn't even pay me any attention. I had to turn into the turn lane. Is it the four-way stop in Commerce? You know where I'm talking about. The four-way where Ingalls, that intersection, where the gas station and all that is?
Yeah. Now, that's like one of the most dangerous intersections, I think, in the country, man.
We're turning left, okay, to go to downtown. He is turning right off the southbound side. Doesn't even flinch. Didn't stop, didn't brake, didn't even look. I mean, I guess he figured, like you said, yield was a suggestion. The signs, listen, like, I know this joke has been said before, but if the sign has a white border, it does not mean it is a suggestion. It means that it's the sign. So, and when it's an upside down triangle, it means that you wait for the other cars unless you have a green light. Even then, you have to have a green turn arrow, okay? Lesson number 67.5 billion. If it's a yield sign, you don't go. You just don't. I hope that guy listens to this podcast. I hope he does. He's going to be like, oh, man. I don't care if we lose that listener. You're an idiot.
Think he'd get his feelings hurt?
I don't care. Somebody needs to hurt his feelings. Somebody needs to have the hard reality talk with this guy and be like, dude, you don't need to be driving. This is why I seriously think we should have true IQ tests for getting a driver's license. You know,
if we're going to do that, I'm going to start my own damn Uber.
Well, then here we go. Oh, you're discriminating against who?
Stupid people.
Well, I mean, people. Okay, right. Exactly. I'm discriminating against stupid people. The reason I'm discriminating against stupid people because the most accidents happen because people do stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Now, so in all seriousness on that topic, so do you think that people actually don't understand the entire physics of it, how to operate their vehicle correctly, traffic laws, anything else you can think of, or do you think that they actually know this, but they simply just choose to be distracted, or they're so ignorant that they are distracted?
I think it has to do with self-entitlement.
Self-entitlement
is what it is. If I'm driving, they can get out of my way.
I'm going to get there first.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, get there first.
You know, how many times on the road do you get passed by somebody just for them to get half a car length ahead of you? But by God, they broke neck to get around you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's entitlement. That is a self-entitled mentality that you have more of a right to drive than someone else does. You don't have to respect the other drivers.
I'm going to get them nuggets while they're fresh.
Something. I don't know. Like, the only time I've ever driven in a panic like that, I really had to go to the bathroom.
Yes, now that's understandable, but at that moment, you are focused. You are a fighter pilot at that moment.
I am highly focused at all times when I drive. I don't want to get killed in a freaking car wreck.
Oh, man.
I really don't. What? What's your rebuttal on that?
I will say that current Joe is a safe driver. There is a version of Joe that I grew up with for a very long time that used to absolutely scare the fucking shit out of me because he was texting with his flip phone nonstop, and most of your cars were on manual transmissions, so you were shifting.
Highly skilled.
Yeah, and then you were messing with the radio. And then you were sometimes talking to me, and I'm like, mother of God.
All right, so that's fair. But I was also younger. And we were also in an area where we had a fraction of the population we have now there. So, I mean, yeah, I get that. I understand what you're saying. And yes, I am guilty of it. But at the time, too, we didn't have the no texting while driving law. We didn't have the no cell phone law.
You know, there was a congressman that actually came out and said that when they did away with that law, he said you just fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's what he was talking about was he said they were texting with it sitting on top of the steering wheel with at least their eyes face forward.
Yep.
Now they're looking down at the fucking ground.
Yep, because they're still doing it.
Sponsor. Yeah.
This alcoholic beverage is brought to you in part by Preston Snappies. Be snappy. Be happy. I gotta say that I enjoy doing this.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do. I enjoy getting to sit here and talk and just get out frustrations or, you know, talk about off the wall crap that most people will listen to, but I don't know how many of them would actually join in on a conversation with. So this is fun for me. I do have a request that we've been given. If any of the listeners knows a medium or a psychic, we have had the suggestion to have one on the show. And if any of you guys know one, a real one, or, you know, as real as it can be. But by the way, the caveat here is we ain't paying somebody to come on the show.
No. Well, we kind of can't.
Well, we can't, but I'm still not going to come out of the pocket for it.
Right.
It's just that's not in the cards. So,
but if you would like to participate,
in the
podcast,
we got a few listeners,
and feel free to plug, you know, anything you want to plug, promote. Most definitely.
But you know, if it's a true psychic, they already know they're going to be on the show.
That's
anyways.
True. So. I don't know if I can be around these psychics, man.
Why?
I got some stuff going on up here. I've been trying to keep
on the down. What are you talking about? I'm
just trying to keep it on the down low.
Trying to keep it on the down low. You want anybody to know?
See right through me, man. Don't ask.
All right. Fair enough. I'll leave it alone for now.
Yeah, leave it alone. You too, Robbie. You leave it alone. Thanks for listening.
We will see you guys Wednesday.